Here.
I don't know. Just sign it.
I can't.
You are invitation.
Where's the keyboard?
It's in there. It's in the case.
No, it's okay.
Thank you for all the folks around here this morning, Father, and may we be mindful of their wishes. Now, thank you for giving us this opportunity to serve you and to serve the people of this county. And thank you for having one of the most beautiful counties in this nation. Be with us and guide everything we say and do here. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
Our Jesus, the United States of America, and to your republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
When did they start doing the prayer before the meeting?
It's kind of weird.
Ask Jesus.
I would like to ask under new business, to visit, revisit the maintenance code.
This board.
For your motion to adopt the agenda with that.
With that amendment.
Frank has moved, Rogers supported. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? We have minutes from 3:05:15.
Motion to adopt as presented.
Frank takes the motion. Is there support for that motion? Discussion? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? We've got a lot of folks here today. I'm sure who are anxious to talk to us. We do have a 3-minute limit on our public input. And we have a 15-minute overall time slot for public input, unless the commission decides to. So.
Why don't we extend it 15 minutes more?
Okay.
I suggest.
I think you have one, so.
I don't know, we need to vote on that. I think that's probably true. All right. In the back, why don't you jump up first? Gordon?
Hello, everybody.
Morning.
Commissioners. Glad to start out with prayer.
Your name, please, for the record.
Gordon Lee Dean.
Thank you.
It's amazing what a few people can do. This document here, I'm going to give you a benefit of doubt that you pass this without knowing what you've done, because it's one thing to have the United Nations to march into our county with tanks and troops involuntarily. It's another thing to invite them in to rape us and pillage us without the troops and tanks. And this is so serious. And this document, nobody can pass this, including you guys. If you would have read it, you would have seen that. And I'm just asking you to let us live in peace. You know, the Bible says, if all that lies within you, live peacefully with all men. I want to do that. There's a saying, you know, the pen is always mightier than the sword, as long as you have a sword back of a pen. And nobody wants to go there. We want to live in peace. And this document is so unconstitutional. Apparently, there was something he wanted to do that was unconstitutional, so he had to bring this international thing to trump it. And we can't have that. I'm praying that you guys just made a mistake, and that you will repent and do away with this thing, because there's a lot of people who are going to suffer. One $500 fine will break most people in this county, let alone more. I don't believe there's a building in this county that can pass this thing. I've read it. Very serious. I said it's a Native Nations document. A lot of proof to prove that this stuff is bad and it's unconstitutional. It's ungodly. It's anti-Christ document. And as I said, I just want you guys to please to realize what you've done. Just move on. Do away with this thing. It's going to affect you and yours as much as it's going to affect mine and everyone else's. And you open with a prayer. Well, I pray that God does go before and prepare the way for this thing and do away with it. Because it's just going to bring a lot of, you know, the divide and conquer. And that's what the enemy wants, divide and conquer. We need to stand together, especially the people in this county. So I'm just asking you, do away with this thing. Do away with this thing. It needs to be done away with. It's unconstitutional in every way. Every way. And like I said, apparently whoever brought this to you, you need to quit listening to them. I'm sure you didn't come up with this on your own. Don't listen to whoever brought this to you. Go on with what your own spirit's telling you to do. Not what someone else is telling you to do. Very unconstitutional document. Please do away with it. Hopefully you've read it. You've realized that, hey, this is bad. So I don't believe anyone up here can pass this. I don't believe anyone in this room can pass this thing. So I'm just asking you, please, do away with it.
My name is Art Jeanette, member, resident of Benzie County, full time. I'm here today to talk on behalf of what I believe is being presented to this group on behalf of the sheriff today regarding the road patrol. I want to start out by saying that, first, I really believe in representation of government, and I appreciate all the decisions that you have to make month to month when I'm not here. I also understand that budgets are very difficult to work with. I've worked within many of them myself. But I also know that you need public input for some issues that maybe you need the feedback on to understand where does the community that you represent stand. You're going to hear a lot of statistics, I suspect, from the Sheriff's Department today regarding why he should have or we should have additional road patrols. So I'm going to stay away from that. But a couple things that I'm going to touch on is first to remind you what you know. The very single obligation of this group is about public safety. So before we do anything else in the county, that's what we have to be mindful of. I'm not representing the business community, but I'm deeply aware of some of the needs in the business community, both from running private businesses as well as being involved in public businesses. I can tell you that from a tourism perspective, when people come to our communities, they expect to feel safe. Most of the people that come to our community bring their families with them, and they consider that fact when they come in. When we think about what are our service levels in this community, and you look, as in today's paper, indicating probably what's the worst case scenario, that one deputy's on patrol with the sheriff as a backup, that's just really not acceptable. I suspect that the response time from one end of the county to the other is anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour. And I understand also that would be at normal speeds, but it still indicates to us how long it would take us to get to an incident should it happen. More importantly for me, because I come from a background where I have family members that were involved in law enforcement, is the safety of the road patrol. It's well documented that an officer that is on patrol by himself is over 60% more likely to be injured than an officer that is not. That the majority of the responses that they're coming to where they're likely to be injured is either through a routine traffic stop or they've been called to an incident such as a domestic dispute that requires their involvement that typically escalates. So when you're making your decision about the road patrol, whether the number additional number should be one or it should be five or something greater, please remember the need for public safety, perception of people that are coming into our communities, and the real need for those of us that are here to protect our law enforcement so that they can feel comfortable when they're on the job. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Reverend Stephen B. Thompson. I am a Benzonia Township resident, and I'm here this morning to speak about this International Maintenance Code. I got to tell you, I know that six of you seven are Republican, of the Republican Party, and that shocked me, considering that the Republican Party are supposed to stand for such things as less government intrusion in our lives. And this maintenance code is anything but less government intrusion in our lives. But I want you to all to understand, this is not about Republican, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, or any party here in Benzie County. It's about all of us who call Benzie County home. We are neighbors, we're friends, and we're a diverse county. And we should, you know, there's got to be other ways of dealing with such things as the question mark building in honor than to come up with a terrible, evil code like this. This code is not only unconstitutional, but I read all 41 pages, and I actually read it through three times, and I couldn't believe that such a document existed. It's hateful. It is downright pure evil in my mind. And what I'm here today is to encourage all of you to rethink this morning, and I was glad to hear Mr. Wolderhouse bring it up. I would like to see this code repealed today before the end of this meeting, before it's too late. I'm not issuing any threats or anything like that, don't get me wrong, but reading this code, and if it's enforced, if it's allowed to stand, and if it's enforced, I can see somewhere down the road it ending up ugly with a standoff against a property owner in our own sheriff's department. And I don't want to see something like that happen here in Benzie County. And then finally, I want to tell you that I admire all seven of you for taking your time out of your private lives to run the county business. I know it's got to be a hard and sometimes frustrating job. And I want to tell you that when you don't have a lot of people showing up for the commissioner's meeting, take it that means that you're doing the right things. When you have a lot of people show up, take it that something went wrong here and let's correct it. So, and then finally, I want to ask you, from now on, when you make decisions concerning all of us here in Benzie County, please don't make them out of fear or hate, or don't let that motivate you. Don't do it for just a few or for what you think is best for the county yourself, but do it with a motivation of love and compassion for all of us that live here in Benzie County and call it home. Thank you.
Eric Andrews in Benzonia. I, like many others, can't make it to these meetings. I have a day job. I have a night job. I'm always working, I feel like. I have to read the agenda when I try to determine whether or not I'm going to attend a meeting here. And I guarantee if there was an issue such as this placed on the agenda as it properly should have been, I don't care whether the Open Meeting Act requires it or not, it should have been. I think that you would have got this many people here at that meeting initially to give their public comment before you made a determination on this International Maintenance Code. I should read something now so it'll make this easier. Why was it necessary to enact this ordinance so hastily? If you look at the timeline, on February 5th, Commissioner Tanner, chairman, appointed a committee to investigate the question mark building and other blight issues in Benzie County. Soon thereafter, the committee met a little bit before February 14th, because on February 14th, a letter was written by the county's attorney, Richard Figuera, to Chairman Tanner, attaching the international ordinance and indicating that in a proposal for the adoption of this ordinance, a meeting then was held 5 days later on February 19th, and this council commission adopted said ordinance. No public notice, not on the agenda. I and the rest of this community had no opportunity to be heard regarding this very significant issue. And that's what my major gripe is here. These other people have a gripe with, and I may as well, have a gripe with the contents of the ordinance. I have issue with the process, and I have repeatedly had issues with the process of this commission. If you go back to the way that the building code official was terminated, and it was done so hastily without notice, and he was basically fired the day before, and the process that is very similar because there's no public notice. The practice of conducting public business without giving notice is a very bad trend. If commissioners or the county administrator know full well that a vote is going to be taken or a deliberation is going to occur on an issue such as this ordinance, then it better be on the agenda. The public had no opportunity to read the ordinance before he passed it. In fact, I believe most of the commissioners here did not read the almost 60-page ordinance before they voted to adopt it. This ordinance issue has been handled very similar, as I said, to Steve Hogan's situation. Now you expect this private company that's handling building code officials to take over. I ask for another minute.
We got a lot of people.
All right, well, you expect a private company to enforce this ordinance, and you never even contemplated how that would occur. So I just think the process needs to be thoroughly thought through, and when these things come up again, you need to get public notice and put it on the agenda so the public can attend. Thank you.
Ted Make from Blaine Township. Takes up a blame because I've known about this for quite a few years. United Nations Agenda 21, I handed out a bunch of paper on it, and I think each of you received now, but I should have done it before. I never threw this, knew it was coming up. The background is that at one time, the United States was 6% of the population of the world, and we had half of the wealth. And the one worlders, even some people living in the United States, wanted to even it out. And there's no way they could bring everybody up to where we were. So they had to tear us down, and this is part of it. Wealth redistribution, this the hoax of global warming, all of this stuff is to cause a panic and try to get redistribution wealth throughout the world. And so that's a background, and we've known about it for quite a few years. The stuff I handed out here is actually a reprint from this Tom DeWeese, who's been working on this since back in 1980-some. And people are getting late. I do have a list. At the time this came out, there was like 500 countries, company or cities in the United States, and Traverse City is one of them. But up there, they called it Smart Growth, and then Honor, they call it Downtown Development. And now Frankfurt's talking about downtown development. And in fact, in the paper, they talked about, they didn't know about the 2% mill that they're going to raise to run this thing. And those are non-elected people. They appoint the people, and then they do it, and they get the 2%, the money coming in. And they have things like this international maintenance thing that slips in there. Anybody's got a computer, you can look up Agenda 21 on the computer. Boy, they tell you just what they're going to do. They're going to level things out from the United States to the rest of the world. Thank you.
Benzie County. I'd like to thank the commissioners for letting me speak today. My family's been part of Benzie County for 4 years. The beauty is awe-inspiring, and I look forward to living the rest of my life here. I hope my children raise their children here and keep our property and our family. But I cannot express the great concern I have over the safety and protection of our law-abiding residents of this county. In the 4 years I have been a resident, I've seen cutbacks from the county and state level. I can't stand up in front of the governor and ask for more state troopers, so I'm asking for help right here in my home county. We have a serious problem with drug dealing in this county. The deputies know it, the sheriff knows it, and I am sure you have all heard stories. Even on my own road, I have two active drug families that traffic at all hours of the day and night. These dealers bring people around my home and my family on a daily basis. These people bring a risk of injury or harm to my family from them being high and driving on the same road my kids play on. They race up and down my road in speeds in excess of 80 miles an hour, and this is a 30-mile-an-hour road. They increase the risk of robbery or break-ins of the other families on my road. They drive drunk and tear up my lawn, damage property, degrade property value, and so on. I'm sure you can imagine all the issues they cause, and this is just on my road, not anywhere else. Even more disturbing is my 15-year-old daughter telling me how a girl on her bus was bragging how when she was 16, her dad was going to smoke pot with her. I'm sure you all like that. Again, all of this is on my road. I talk a lot with people, associate with clients who live here, and I've heard the general consensus of what is going on. And I have not even begun to talk about meth labs popping up, the drug traffickers who know to come through Benzie County at 3 a.m. because they know that the roads are not patrolled, or the bar patrons who get off scot-free after way too many drinks because we don't have patrols on the roads at that time in the morning. I'm getting real tired of having to go outside with a firearm on my side to go take a walk down my road or to make sure the kids can play safe out front while I supervise. I'm tired of never even once seeing a deputy just make a round down my road. I'm tired of the dealers and drunk drivers in this county. And being an example of last night, thank you, Deputy Mark Katz, I don't know if you're in here or not, but a prime example would be last night. We have a community we need to help keep safe. Our community needs to band together along with the Sheriff's Department and tackle this problem. So how do we do it? First, the Sheriff's Department is running on outdated vehicles and equipment in the vehicles. This equipment is barely reliable at best.
We have to end your remarks there.
Good morning. I'm David Miner from Watson's Chrysler and resident of Benzie County. I thought this meeting was this evening, so I am lightly prepared. But what I would like to, I want to touch on a couple things, and make it's primarily road patrol and what we can do to help. All right. And we have been a victim at down here at Watson's several times. Last time was tuned to about $30,000, which was like $10,000 out of pocket after the insurance payment. We spent $5,000 on a camera system, which is, it falls short for road patrol. It'll capture the thief, a photo. You're not going to be able to recognize them. You're not going to be able to read a license plate number. You can just say, yep, there he was. So we would benefit greatly from cruisers on the roads. I do have some information put together, and I don't know if you folks want the numbers at this time. The sheriff would ask me to put some numbers together for patrol picker, for, well, two special service Durangos and some detective cars. We have a lease program that is available through Alley, where everything works on a credit line. It makes everything easy, and we just want to do our part and make things absolutely as affordable to the counties. I don't have packets made up, but I can make a packet and give them to the sheriff, and every person will get one, and then I can come back in.
That'd be a good idea.
Okay. All right. So, but I just I don't envy you folks.
Way in the back corner there. Morning.
Morning, all. Thank you for giving me another chance to speak. I am Robert Theobald, the Village President of Honor. I know a lot of you people out there think that this ordinance was put in place just for Honor and the question mark building, and it's not about that. It's about them select few people that decide that they want to trash our county and disrespect the people that live within and around them. I really feel that you guys need to take a hard look at this, because this ain't a headhunter ordinance like some people think it is. This ordinance is about taking care of them few select people that want to trash this beautiful county which we live in. And I really feel this is God's country, like everybody says. And if we choose not to enforce things for them few select people that decide they want to be above and beyond and trash what is beautiful here, then I really feel that, I'm lost for words. But anyways, I want the commission to really think hard. And I had a talk with Mr. Olson about this. I think you guys should form a committee to review this ordinance and tweak it. Leave the things in there that give people the process to take care of these few select that want to think they're above and beyond the law because they know the system. They know their way around it. And I've had it bad. Well, I've lived here 7 years trying to get this unsafe building out of our community. This county is about tourism. You can't bring business in. You can't have tax base if you don't bring people into the county. People do not go where there's a trash bin or unsafe issues. So personally, I really feel that you guys need to form a committee, tweak this ordinance, and give the other community a chance and a tool to work with that we can take care of those people who choose to trash out a beautiful county that we live within. Thank you.
I think this affects everybody. My name is Elizabeth Lero. I'm resident of Benzie County. He was stating how this affects just select people, and that if you tweak it, that, you know, you can pick certain people that are not maybe maintaining their stuff as well as this ordinance points out. But how do you choose who those select people are when this ordinance, I know, affects a very vast majority of people in this county? I'm not disagreeing. I do know that there are people that don't maybe maintain their property as well as should, but to pass this that affects over 90% of this county and to ask for, you know, just maybe a select few, maybe like 20 or 30 property, you know, that don't maintain it as well as it should, it just, that doesn't make sense to me to pick select people. And that's all.
Extended it.
My benefit is for yours. Keep me on track. John Douglas Holmes, Frankfort, Michigan.
And now, more government. Can you turn this around so can we turn this around so you can see it please? Thank you.
More government is the problem and not the solution. And a perfect example, the question mark building in honor. At the time Gary Henning purchased that, he intended on developing it. He had the money, he had the time, he had friends that wanted to help him out, he had all the tools he needed. He had the ambition, he wanted to succeed in business. And the people issuing the permits hassled him. He got hassled at every turn. He got expenses and more expenses with appeals and whatnot. After fighting it for in the neighborhood of a year, year and a half, he threw in the towel. Set them out of here. That's a perfect example of blight created by excessive government. Another example, honor stamp and coin. Steve Garvin, great guy. He purchased a building in honor. He put tens of thousands of dollars into fixing it up, renovating it. He put new siding on. He got his business license, his stationery. He wanted to open up business. And his final permit, I believe it was his occupancy permit, he couldn't get it. Whoever was in charge there hassled him to the point he said, screw it, I'm out of here. He went up to Chum's Corner, and he's a great businessman. Business has been so good for him that he's opened five or six satellite offices and I don't know how many total employees he has, but strictly at his Jones Corners office, he has 5 full-time and a part-time employee. Those are local jobs. They would have gone to Benzie County residents. Now, people out of the county have those jobs. Why? Well, because we the people, for the most part, do not know our rights. And whether it's a city, county, township level, our officials don't know the responsibilities under the constitutions. And they've sworn an oath to 2 constitutions, the Michigan Constitution and our federal constitution. And in most cases, when those unconstitutional ordinances pass, the people pay, they get a ticket and they pay their fine, and a whole lot of revenue is generated by all those people paying their fines until somebody who knows their rights gets busted. And they'll get prosecuted and convicted at the district court, and they'll appeal. They go to circuit court, and they're prosecuted and convicted. The conviction's upheld. And then they appeal to the state court, and then they appeal to the federal court, incurring massive expenses all along the way. Finally, the Supreme Court will say, oops, sorry, you guys didn't do anything wrong. It's a boo-boo, that ordinance is unconstitutional.
That's time.
And meanwhile, people have lost their stuff. Mr. Van Meter, were you going to give me your 3 minutes?
Yes, you got my 3 minutes.
Wait, no, we can't do that. We got that.
Clever.
So sum up.
You can answer.
Sir?
So sum up.
Bro, sum?
Sum up, summation. Sum it up.
Sum issue.
Summation.
Okay, I'll finish it quick.
Thank you.
Okay, throughout here, and I brought some up here, I've got a list of a dozen different Supreme Court cases telling people, examples just like this, local counties and local townships passing unconstitutional laws that have been overturned. For each one of those dozens, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more. You can fill law libraries with them. Because people don't know their rights. But there's a ticket.
Go right to the back page.
Sir, the back page?
You got it.
Okay, this is it. Every one of us on juries, no matter what unconstitutional laws are passed, if you're a juror, you have the right of jury nullification. If there's a bad law, you don't have to listen to the judge. You can try the facts of the case, and you can try the law. And if it does not hit your conscience, if you think, I cannot sleep tonight knowing I voted guilty, you have the unconditional, absolute right to vote not guilty, whether it's the International Property Maintenance Code or anything else. Thank you.
Okay.
It seems like this code is probably going to affect my property. I've already gotten some notices, so just wanted to submit a report to the commission. I hope that you'll all get a chance to read that, and it's not clear how all this is going to come out, so thank you.
Matt?
Matt Emery, Dryfield Township. I did come here today also to ask you to reconsider the passage of this International Property Maintenance Code. Some of you know here that I do serve as the township supervisor in Dryfield, and we've had similar issues in the past, concerning blight or potentially harmful development in the township. And I can see how, in some ways, getting a document that comes to you at nominal cost and can be passed would be appealing. But I can also say, I have grown to respect a great deal of people in Dryfield Township. And one of the things I respect is that they have a lot of independence. It is a place where the lack of regulation is respected, Even if that means, yeah, maybe things aren't as neat and tidy as they would be in other parts of the county, people really appreciate that freedom. And unfortunately, this property maintenance code would do a lot to erode that. And I know that, you know, for you to go back and spend the time to draft an ordinance that people would approve of and can live with is going to mean money. It's going to mean people have to be willing to acknowledge that it's going to cost you money to pay an attorney or somebody else to create a document that people can live with. But I think in this case, it's very much the right thing to do. If you look at an ordinance and you see that, well, you know, yeah, this is going to affect a lot of people, but, you know, we'll just selectively enforce it, I think you've got to agree it's the wrong thing to do. We have so many laws and regulations, people are just fed up with it. And we had an attorney send us a couple samples, and they wanted to regulate the size of somebody's garden, you know, to a tiny little plot. It's ridiculous, you know? We can address the bigger issues, but it does take more time, and it does take more money at the government level. And as long as people are willing to support that, I think that's what we have to do. Thank you.
Are you going to hang out until they talk about it on the agenda?
What else are they talking about?
Well, they put it on, they added it to the agenda to talk about the code later today at the meeting.
When's that?
I don't know, it could be 5 hours from now.
When the commissioners speak, would you please speak into your mic because we can't hear a word you're saying.
Okay. Can you?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning to the commission. Thank you all for coming out. It's nice to see the public involved. This is our public form of government. This is what it's all about. Those of us that are elected are here to represent you and to listen to you. So thank you very much for coming out today. Appreciate that very much. At the last commission meeting, I was asked by the chairman to present a proposal to increase the Sheriff's Department, specifically the Uniform Service Division. So if you'll just switch to page 2. At this time, I'm making a proposal for 5 additional deputy positions. 5 is the magic number. For the county to have 2 deputies on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we will need 5 additional deputies. This will allow us a deputy that could be utilized for school security during the winter months, and in the busier summer months would be utilized in the Detective Bureau. Keep in mind that the Bureau of Justice Statistics reports that the average ratio of a full-time road officer for 1,000 residents for a community of 10,000 to 25,000 is 2.0 officers. This would mean that our community of roughly 18,000 should have at least 36 road officers to assist for law enforcement. We currently have 8 officers assigned to road patrol. Historically, the problem remains that the number of road patrol officers is far below what is considered to be serviceable levels. This is a concern that needs to be addressed. Although the above is just an average, we as a community should be concerned that we are not at a serviceable level that adequately protects the residents of our county, as well as our many visitors, and as well as the officers who risk their lives on a daily basis to protect us. The addition of 5 deputies would bring us back in line with our 1996 staffing levels. This is the level that both former Sheriff Vance Bates and former Detective Sergeant Tom Kelly had while they were protecting our community. And this is the most important line of all. Public safety is and always should be the top priority for any and all forms of government. The next page, points of interest, these are some of the things that I put down for all of us to keep in mind. We have 6 vehicles that are in need of immediate replacement due to age, mileage, and general disrepair, with 2 more patrol vehicles fast approaching the 100,000 mile mark. I say that because it's in our contract that officers are not supposed to be in vehicles past 100,000 miles. I am suggesting a vehicle replacement program that is built into each year's budget. This will avoid putting the county in this position in the future. Calls for service are double in comparison to other counties with similar population. A lot of times we like to use Kalkaska because it has roughly the same amount of people, and our calls for service are double. The population growth for the period of 2000 to 2010 shows a 9.5% increase in population here in Benzie County. We realize that this is a beautiful area and people want to live here. However, the amount of officers able to protect them has gone down. As compared to 2009, felonies have increased 23.52%. Felonies have increased steadily since the 2006 cuts to the road patrol. To the contrary, misdemeanors show an inverse relationship to officer patrol, showing a consistent decline since the reduction in personnel. Art mentioned this earlier. According to Google Maps, a drive from M22 Joyfield to Lake Ann Road, Cedar Road, is 36.7 miles and would take 51 minutes to drive at non-emergency speeds. Even though we're the smallest county, we still have a lot of territory to cover. And finally, Grand Traverse County general fund budget is $37 million. And of that, $12 million goes to the operation of the Sheriff's Department. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that they get 34% of the general fund budget. We're not anywhere near that. These are concerns that I have. And please keep in mind, the reason that I ran to be your sheriff, there's only one reason. And that was to stand at this podium so that I could get more deputies here to protect you. That is your right, and that's what you deserve. You are a very important community, and you need to have the proper amount of people to protect you. I'm not asking for an army. All I'm asking for is the minimum standard of 2 officers on so that they have a backup 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is my proposal, and thank you very much. Any questions? Okay, thanks.
Anything for EMS today, but I am in support of what Ted is trying to do, and I think there's a few things that, besides the public safety aspects of it, there's some liability issues that are going on right now too because of those staffing levels. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples that have happened here in Benzie County that has affected the EMS service as well. Remember back, I don't know, probably a year or more ago, we had our ambulance crews were dispatched to a suicide. It was at a point where they didn't have any officers that were available. They were on duty because of the budget cuts that were there. Self-inflicted gunshot wound is what the call was. Our ambulance crew went. Our ambulance crew goes in the house to find out this wasn't a suicide, this was a murder. Now they're standing in the room with the suspect of that case. It puts them in a liability issue too because we don't have that 24-hour coverage. You also have drunk drivers. We had an incident in which drunk driver goes off the road, hits a tree. Ambulance is dispatched to it. The sheriff department is not dispatched to it. They don't have anybody that's on staff at that point. They only come out on an accident if there's an injury involved. There was no injuries that were there. What do we do with the drunk driver? We can't take him to the hospital. There's no injuries that are there. If you let him walk down the road and he gets hit by a car, who's liable? Probably going to be Benzie County, right? We're the ones that released them. You send them home, and there's nobody there to take care of them, and he dies because of vomiting on, or, you know, choking on his own vomit or something, where does that liability fall? We've had some incidents that we figure out what we got to do, but it's not what we want to do. Most of those cases would be, we're going to send them to the jail, and that the officer would take care of it, but they're not available to do that. So there are some things that are out there that goes beyond just that, this public safety that's there. We're in support of the sheriff department and them getting the staffing that they need. And just to think about it, it goes beyond just the sheriff department. It does affect some other county services as well, because we're going to be held liable on those if we release some of those people that are there. So we've worked on how we can do that. We've sent some home with record drivers. We've taken them back to the house where they had left from. You know, where somebody can watch them, and we work it the best that we can, but one of these days something tragic could happen because they just aren't available to be there. You know, it could have been tragic on that murder case. They were in the house with a murder suspect by themselves. Or if you don't go in, now what happens to that patient because there's nobody available? So you've got to, we weigh those options of that. So keep that in mind when you're talking about staffing and helping the sheriff department out. Any questions at all on the EMS side? Things have been going along as usual. So.
Ron? I have the Ron Burns, Central Dispatch Director. I have the normal distribution for the February. All the service that we did. And again, a reminder, the calls of service are based on what the people tell us, and we class it, we give them a call nature. It's not always the end result of what they end up being. A couple things in 911, we're short one person on medical leave. We have one in training, and we have one scheduled to start training April 8th, and that'll be a part-time person. Three of the day shift dispatchers and afternoon dispatchers have been to active shooter training, and they'll participate in the schools on and with Frank Post and his lockdowns and things like that, learn about active shooter responses. One of the other things that we hired, our most recent hire was an unemployed person, and they brought us a program from Northwest Michigan Works in which we'll receive 480 hours of training will be paid back to us through a grant. That equals to about $3,513. And I also support the sheriff in his request. There's nothing more to say to a dispatcher than to worry about that phone call at 3:05 and wonder if they're going to have an officer that they don't have. And they've also had to deal with the drunk driver reports and those kind of things and nobody to send. Or you got to take two or three steps to get to the sergeant for him to approve it and then call the officer at home and get him going. So a lot of time it takes. So it's frustrating for them and it's hard for them to perform their duties without manpower.
Just a few things from Animal Control. Everything's going pretty well. We are looking for a part-timer, and we have a few applications in that we'll be reviewing this week, and hopefully we'll be able to find a good fit for that. And the other thing is, at the beginning of May, we do have the Michigan Animal Control Association conference coming back to Crystal Mountain, and so hopefully the commissioners won't mind Ed and I attending at least some of that. And but other than that, we don't have too much going on for Animal Control right now. And also the animal control officers in support of the ship as well.
You come sneaking in there?
Put your hand on your face.
Good morning, Sarah Mason, Benton County Prosecutor. The reason I'm here is I'm speaking with 24 hours, everything like that. As you guys may or may not know, the prosecutor's office, we are actually on 24-hour call as well. And what we have recently been looking into is getting a cell phone from the police department essentially added onto their contract so that we can be in constant communication with the police. We have been getting phone calls occasionally, Friday nights, Saturday nights, from the police department. We've been using our personal cell phones and our home phones. The problem with this is that it opens us up to FOIA on our personal information and to subpoenas. Not that we have anything to hide necessarily, but that's, we also don't want our entire personal life exposed because we're taking phone calls from the police department. We have already had several calls over the weekends. If somebody is arrested on a Friday, they have to be arraigned within 48 hours, so we have to come in and do the warrants. Well, if we have are able to get a smartphone, we'll be able to do the warrants from anywhere. There's only two of us, so there is a decent chance at some point this summer both of us will be out of town. The cost for the cell phone is $60 a month, and it is through the police department. It's one of their phones. We're just going to add on to their contract. So we're asking that the money be added to our budget. It would be $720 a year so that we can get a cell phone, so we can be in communication with the Benson County Sheriff's, the State Police, and PNC. Anytime they need us, they can call us. If they need to find out if they have you know, enough probable cause for a search warrant, or if they there's an emergency, they need to go in the house without a search warrant, or if, like in the case of what ended up being the murder case, if they need to know what evidence they should be looking for, probable cause, any legal questions, that way the police can get a hold of us on this phone, and it doesn't subject us to any additional liability. Thank you. Any questions?
Work it out with the administrator.
Okay.
You can do that job. He can bring the dollar voice back.
Max, same thing. Speak into the mic so we can hear it.
Okay.
County administrator can take care of that.
Okay. Thank you.
And bring a budget back for next meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Other department heads?
Mike Beaving, Solid Waste Department. Nothing really to report this week or this for the rest of this month. I will have something more comprehensive for you the middle of April. I do have, or I did go to a conference yesterday on dealing with disposal of pharmaceuticals and stuff. And we're going to need to sit down with some particular parties within the county and discuss a policy on that, because there's a lot of things that we're doing wrong at this time on that.
And on the pharmaceuticals?
On the pharmaceuticals and possibly some other items also.
Thank you. Well, we had talked about, might as well stick there in this, we had talked about doing a program where some of those meds could be recycled. And I don't know how we could accomplish that, but I know a lot of times people turn in meds that they may turn them into the sheriff that still has a shelf life that are not being...
Long, short answer to it, can't do it.
Can't do it?
No. Once it leaves a pharmacy, it's garbage on that part. It has to deal a lot with basically like a chain of evidence. And we can thank the Tylenol scare from many years ago for that.
Okay. Other department heads?
I just want to comment.
Everybody gets to go first one time.
Well, this is reference to the drug bus that is coming to the Sheriff's Department. This is, you know, a public service announcement as well. We have ordered the drug box for the Sheriff's lobby. We should be getting it shortly, and this will provide the opportunity for the public to come to the sheriff's office to dispose of any type of narcotics, including class 3 narcotics, which the pharmacies will not take. We then register with the DEA. The DEA comes out twice a year to pick up the drugs and dispose of them properly. Therefore, they're not going into our septic systems and destroying our groundwater.
Define class 3. Give us an example.
Codeine.
And
yes, OxyContin, all those kind of drugs, pharmaceuticals will not take. But we will at our drug box in our lobby, and then the DEA disposes of it properly. So that will be available to the public soon. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other department heads who need to speak? Okay. Other department heads? Okay. Anything else? Okay.
It has been suggested, and I'm not working for this, that we move this meeting I have hearing aids and I know I can hear perfect, and you're not talking. How about letting everybody know what you're saying?
So we're going to move the new business of the International Property Maintenance Code to now. And so we'll take this issue up. What I had Dick send us, and I don't know what the board wants to do with this issue, but if we're going to rescind an ordinance, it takes an ordinance to do that. And so Dick provided a copy of an ordinance to rescind the property maintenance code.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman. Just to expedite this.
So you're making a motion to adopt the ordinance to rescind.
To adopt the ordinance to rescind.
The property maintenance code.
I'll support.
And Glenn, you're supporting Tom's motion. Any discussion on this?
Effective immediately, if you don't have a date here.
Yes.
We got to fill in the blanks.
Okay.
A notice of publication that has to follow that will be published in the paper before it can be effective. And it's effective right after that.
As soon as possible.
And I have that notice to publish, so they can get in the paper for next week if the board adopts it.
Our administrator put some paperwork together on other counties. Can he present that before we vote?
Sure.
He did the work on it. At least allowing him to show us what his findings are.
Yes. A week ago, I had sent a poll out to a number of counties. We have basically an email list where questions come up. We ask each other these items, who's doing what, or whatever the issue happens to be. I did inquire on that list how many folks did in fact have a property maintenance code for the county if they had a county building department. A number of counties, of course, do not have a building department, especially in the downstate urbanized areas. Each municipality takes care of that. Out of that survey, there's about 16 communities or counties that responded, and you can see that the majority of those do not have a property maintenance code. They refer to that as a local issue. Local units of government have the opportunity to put into place a dangerous building code, a blight code, or a junk ordinance at their need. If they have those issues in their communities, that's something they can certainly do, and it's probably more common than not in cities and villages where people are living in closer proximity. I thought the building official's response that came from Grand Traverse County was especially appropriate, and incorporated a copy of that was sent by the county administrator in Grand Traverse, and you'll see Bruce's comments that I thought were particularly eloquent on that. Of the local communities in Grand Traverse that do have that ordinance, they don't like to enforce it either. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, nobody likes to enforce this kind of ordinance. This is the standpoint of government being the last resort to resolve an issue that a property owner either cannot or will not take care of that negatively impacts his neighbors, whether it's life safety issues, which were really the focus of this code as it was presented to you back in early February in a workshop format and subsequently discussed. A lot of the details of the code, room sizes, whether or not 6 inches of grass is acceptable or unacceptable, those were not the priority of that code. The priority of that code were to deal with dangerous buildings that have structural problems, or in the case of one structure that the building department did go in and take a look at, where they had an unvented hot water heater that was a gas hot water heater. So the carbon monoxide was within the structure.
and it wasn't vented to the outside. Fortunately, that was not a furnace. Had it been, that could have been another headline for the county, with three people dying in a carbon monoxide poisoning case, which I'm sure none of us would have liked to have had, both from a life safety standpoint, as well as something negative for the family, as well as the county. That was the gist of the ordinance and the reason why it was put into place. And that particular structure I'm referring to is not an honor structure, was not in the Village of Honor. So you have before you a memo with that report and the information from Grand Traverse. And I realize this is probably not in keeping with the vast majority of the audience members and the citizens here, as well as perhaps the County Board of Commissioners. I would like to invite the aspect of reducing the code down to life safety issues and having our professionals deal with that along with the committee of the board. And if there are members of the community that would like to be engaged in that, that maybe having a stake in that, that be something that be looked at. That's a policy matter. That part of the process is purely up to you. But that is one aspect of looking at it. If we don't have this code, we cannot deal in particular with commercial structures. That's off the map at that point. That's purely up to the local units. The second part of this is that this was to assist communities such as the Village of Honor and others who may not have the full amount of resources to be able to deal with this issue on their own. That's what most other counties do. That is the reaction that you you have from those communities. They make it a local community issue. Those communities have to spend their resources lock, stock, and barrel to do that. Certainly we have our experts on hand in the case of our state certified registered code officials. And that's an opportunity that we have to assist those communities and the citizens of those communities for the greater good.
He's one of the people who presented it.
I don't have a traffic count for you for Honor. That would be a good thing to obtain either from MDOT or the Road Commission as to how many people go by and see the question mark building, that being the most visible of the problems. Last item on this is that we did have a resident last year who brought in a CD that I handed to Steve Hogan to take care of. There were 19 pictures of structures in various form of demolition, destruction, that all could have had safety issues. I know there was a mobile home being scrapped out that was taking a long period of time to get taken care of. There was one structure with an open cistern where someone could have fallen into that. Those constitute attractive nuisances. And there are also life safety issues with that, should someone fall into that type of situation. So the ordinance, and it's a boilerplate ordinance with a lot of provisions that are written and have been on the books since the 90s. It's really an adaptation of the old BOCA code and from the building officials at that period of time in that association. And in this code has not changed over that 20-odd year period in any substantive amount. It has nothing to do with Agenda 21. It's actually published in Chicago. And it has to do with life safety issues. So I would urge the reexamination of the ordinance, certainly.
Chris, of the responses that I saw that we had found that two counties actually adopted the code, do we know any more since that correspondence?
No, there has been nothing since that, Branch and Oceana being the two counties that have it. But again, I think if we had the typical 40 or 50 responses to that, I think we would still see the fact that it would be a 5 to 10% of the counties actually deal with it as a county issue.
And Leelanau County did didn't respond, or did?
Leland, well, I know what Leland does, since Mr. Figueroa represents communities there.
Right.
They do not have this code, and the county does not participate in helping local communities do this. In fact, if the county incurs legal bills with the building department on something like that, should the county or the local community choose to utilize that, the local community has to pay the county back, or they just pursue it with their own attorney, as Mr. Figueroa has done with the Village of Empire and other cases. So again, the county can either assist or not assist in a local matter. This ordinance provides you a tool to assist. It's boilerplate. I have certainly had, and I was planning to cover this in my report, like all of you, I've had a good share of phone calls as well. And I know that there are a lot of folks who tend to think that this is using a bazooka instead of a fly swatter to deal with a problem. I think some of that criticism is justified when it comes to the other issues addressed in the boilerplate nature of that code. Were those priorities of the county or the building department? No. The priority is to prevent injury, loss of life, or other issues related to life safety as it relates to unmaintained or structures that have fallen into such disrepair that the property owner either needs to fix it or to remove it. And it should be at their expense, not the taxpayer's expense. Believe me, folks, I'm mindful of that.
I thought more along the lines of nuclear as opposed to a bazooka.
Yeah.
We do have a motion on the floor. And that motion is to adopt an ordinance to rescind the property maintenance code that was adopted just a short time ago. Is there any more discussion on that motion? So we'll call that.
Griner?
Yes.
Tilly?
Yes.
Rainier?
Yes.
Walteros?
Yes.
Bates?
Yes.
Tanner?
This time I'll vote yes. Discussion.
I think that there should be a couple of public hearings at least, and of course, I would recommend Honor, and then I recommend Garfield County, but to take input, because I do think, as the sheriff drove out, we do have some public safety issues, and if we want to deal with them, fine. If we don't mind, we're at your pleasure. And I drove by that building in Honor for 14 years and wondered why somebody hasn't done something with that to help take care of the road, fire issues. Even now, you've got parts of it falling off. And so if that's our charge, then maybe we ought to look at it. If it's not our charge, then somebody else ought to, and Honor came to us and asked us. Yeah, I voted for it, and I didn't read it. I want to be honest with you. I believe that the officials were trying to do the right thing, and I would definitely like to see some public hearings and some input. And if everybody agrees, things are fine as we go, we can live with that. But if they're not, I think we ought to come up with a plan, and that would envision my mind that the local unit of government would have to be a partner in this and have had the public hearings and bring it to us. And then seek our help on a per case basis, and by no means be in a witch hunt business. Thank you.
So, just curious.
We're not in public input at this point.
Why aren't we?
Well, we might be. So, any other comments on the motion? send this to committee, my comments are this, I just want to make sure that the committee, whatever comes out of committee is accessible to the community. I don't see a problem with having some public hearings, but I do have reservations about creating something else that's overarching over township jurisdiction. Maybe what the county could do is help create something that townships could feel comfortable adopting, but I still have reservations about the county being the agency that adopts the ordinance. That's my two cents. So we can vote on this motion. All in favor of the motion, aye?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay. I think leave it up to the townships and the villages, let them sort out what they want to do.
And I'm opposed as well. Okay, we've dealt with that issue. I think we'll take a recess here, about a 10-minute recess.
Sir, for identifications, who is the man who spoke, the last person? And who does he represent?
This is Chris Olson.
Chris Olson.
He is our county administrator.
Okay.
Okay, we're in recess.
Do you want to stay any longer?